All right, this is a season of Thanksgiving. Is anybody thankful? You know, if I was to ask you to produce a list for me, you would probably produce a list that everybody produces for me. I've been doing this all last week, about 600 people, and I get the same thing. I'm thankful for my family, thankful for my friends, thankful for my job, thank you for my health, thank you for my house, thank you for the food. That's the kind of things that most of us are thankful for. How many agree with that statement? That's like the common ones. That's like the ones on the top of your mind. But today, I want to maybe help you be thankful for some things you never wished or thought to be thankful for. So before we start, let's turn to the Psalm of Thanksgiving. That'd be Psalm 100. We're going to start reading with Psalm 100. And we're going to go from Psalm 100 to Psalm 107. And that's where we're going to stay. The rest of the morning will be in Psalm 107. But right now we're going to read Psalm 100.
Make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Wow. Enter his courts with what?
Thanksgiving.
Enter his gates with what? Praise. Wouldn't it have been great if they put a caveat in there that went something like this? If you feel like it, enter his gates with thanksgiving. If everything is fine and perfect and everybody is well, then enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's not what it says. It says to enter his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
When?
Always.
Tonight I'm going to bring a message at the worship service that I will be doing for those getting baptized. And just one thing I'll be saying tonight, and I won't go into a big litany about that because I want you to come, is I was talking to a fellow the other day. And this individual was making a decision to turn off life support from his wife. And it's an older fella, older woman. And the decision had to be made as to whether or not to discontinue life support. And I was talking to him, was he and I was having this conversation after the doctors had explained the process and some of his options. And the doctor has said, well, we can do a feeding tubes, and we can do hydration tubes, and we can do these things. And so the old fellow said he wanted to talk to me, and he said he wanted a minute to make a decision. And he and I was sitting, you know, in the waiting room. This is exactly what he said to me. You know, Pastor, it's one thing when you cannot eat, and it's another thing when you cannot drink. But when you cannot cry, when you cannot cry, it's time to go home. Did you ever thank God for your tears? We'll talk about that tonight. Thanking God for so many things. We thank him for our house and our food and our jobs and our family and our health and friends. We know how to thank him for those things. But do you ever thank him for the things that you most take for granted? We're going to talk about that. I need you to turn to Psalm 107. And you're going to stay in Psalm 107, so you better, you know, find it and keep your finger there. And, you know, we're going to be there for a while. And we're going to read sections of it. The first section that we're going to read is Psalm 107. And we're going to start with verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Now, you know that he's delivered you from a long way off. in one of the gospel songs that I sing a lot, you know, down in Homestead in Wilkinsburg. We have two centers there. You know, I'm in the gospel music. I have to be in the gospel music. And one of the songs we sing a lot in those two places is Thank You, Jesus. And the words of the song says, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for you brought me from a mighty long way. You know, we may not yet be where we want to be, but who's thanking God you're not stuck where you were? Think back, especially those of us in my age bracket, think back 30, 40 years from whence you've come. How many are thanking God you are where you are today, from where you came? And for our younger folks, we may not yet appreciate where we older folks are, but chances are pretty good you've come a mighty long way from where you were too. How many young folks can say that too? So how many thanking God? I may not yet be where I want to be, but I'm thanking you, God. I'm not stuck where I was. Ain't that true? And so we should be thanking God for deliverance. Yes. And of all those 600 people that I talked to all last week about what are you thankful for, and I was in small groups, I was in large groups, I was in an auditorium like this, not one person said, I thank you. Or everybody said, thanks for salvation. That's like on one of the top of the hip parades for Bible thumping, card carrying, Bible toting, scripture quoting, Jesus freaks kind of guys. Thank you for salvation. But not one person said, I thank God that he brought me from where I was and where I am today. Thank you, God, I'm not stuck where I was. How many can say amen to that? So thank God for our what? Our deliverance. And I want to show you four things that the psalmist David is talking about being saved from. There are four things. And I want you to look at Psalm 107. And by the way, and Karen read that preface for you, that was a thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. And we're going to read now Psalm 107, verses 4 to 9.
They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he left them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness.
Wandering in the deserts, no roads, no provisions, no directions, just wandering. Senselessly going round and round and round with no direction in our life, no place to go, totally lost. How many were like that one time in your life? Oh, you were living. You were clearly living. Your hearts were beating and your lungs were breathing. You were alive, but you were lost. There was no substance in your life, nothing. Just going through the motions. You know, there are a lot of people who are alive, but they have no life. They get up every single morning and they are alive, but just the same mundane existence, just wandering in the wilderness. No particular place to go. What's the meaning? What's the purpose? Just lost. Who's ever been in that situation? Just going through the motions. Getting up, going to bed, getting up, going to bed. And these individuals cried out unto the Lord. Look at that psalm. Look at that psalm. Look at verse 6. Psalm 107. Look at verse 6. They called on the name of the Lord. They cried out in their trouble. They cried out in their distress. Crying out to him. Not in itty teeny little voices, but in loud voices proclaiming, help me, Lord. There's no place to go. Crying out in their desperation. Have you ever cried out to the Lord in your desperation? I mean, have you ever just cried out to him? And I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep kinds of things. I'm talking about crying out. And these folks are crying out unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do for them? What did he do for them in their crying out to them? Look at verses 6 and 7. He put them on a new road. He led them to the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, look at verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with His goodness. Sometimes, even those of us that found our way kind of get lost again sometimes, don't we? How many sometimes go your wayward way and get lost sometimes and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I had it figured out. I saw the road. I'm off the road. How many of you ever been pulled back on the road by a righteous God? How many know that's a sudden wake-up call? Exactly. It's not just no, would you let come on over here? No, it's pretty abrupt sometimes. Yeah, they like that. Well, so have you ever thanked the Lord for delivering you from the deserts of your lives? Have you ever did that? Have you ever taken the time to thank Him that you're no longer walking in the wilderness? You now have purpose. You have vision. You know where you're going. You know whose you are. Did you ever thank God for that? Let's read verses 10 to 16, Psalm 107. We're going to read verses 10 to 16.
Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke the chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two.
Oh, wow, praise the Lord. I mean, they cried out to the Lord because they were in prison. They cried out to the Lord because they were bound in chains. You know, there are people right now in major hospitals all across this city. They are in the process of going where? Home. All over this place, all over the city of Pittsburgh, there are people in rooms preparing to go home. And some of them are crying out to the Lord in their pain. Some of those are crying out to the Lord for a quick deliverance. Some are crying out in fear. Some are crying out in confusion. Oh, there are folks in prison chains today facing the valley of death. But there are also people facing the valley of death in the spiritual way. There are many individuals who have been chained by chains of frustration and anger, stress, jealousy, unforgiveness. Oh, we have those chains. How many understand those kind of chains? Oh, we have those kind of chains. They lock and bind us. And these individuals crying out to the Lord in their pain. Look at Psalm 107. Verse 10, those who sat in the darkness and the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Oh, we have those. Weak and alone. Prisons and chains of fear and worry. Loneliness, jealousy, unforgiveness, the past, the hurts, the heartaches, the hatred. Oh, we're in them, all right. We're in prisons. Oh, they're not iron bars. It's steel cages. They're worse. They're worse. And you know why they're so many times worse? It's because we put ourselves in them. And there lies the weirdness. Nobody threw us in there. Guess what? We walked in. And what did we do with the steel doors behind us? Slammed them shut. Did you ever thank God for deliverance from those chains? Look at Psalm 107. Verse 13, and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their darkness. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron into two. How many have been delivered from those kind of chains and give him thanks? The song that one of my favorites recently is, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. For my God, my Savior has what? Ransomed me." Oh, when the chains fall off, how many know you breathe in the fresh air of a new day? Oh, thank God for deliverance from those kinds of chains. Let's look at Psalm 107. And we will be reading this time, starting in verse 17, be reading down to verse 22.
Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent the word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his words with rejoicing.
You know, I would love to be able to tell you, but I can't, unfortunately. I can't. But I would love to be able to tell you that everyone that I see on a daily basis in major UPMC's hospitals around this town, I would love to be able to tell you that everyone that I see, and you all know by now, I'm an end-of-life chaplain, that's kind of like what I do. I would like to tell you that everybody I see goes to heaven. I would love to be able to tell you that. Love to be able to tell you that. That'd be a lie, because they don't. A lot of people want to see me. They want to see me. And let me just help you understand why they want to see me. Just as people will call me on the phone and say, "Hey, Pastor Tom, I've been thinking about you. Will you baptize my kid?" Do you think they really understand what baptism is all about? No. Just as surely as I tell you that there are people call me on the phone and ask me to marry them. Just as surely as I tell you, people call me on the phone and ask me to do a funeral for somebody. Just as surely as I tell you that people call me on the phone I haven't seen in myriads of years, they'll invite me to go do a blessing for somebody. In just the same vein, there were people who will call me to the dying person's bedside. Because it's just something that you what? You do. You do. And I would love to be able to tell you, I would love to be able to tell you, that when I walk into all these rooms and everybody knows the Lord and they're waiting to go home to a holy God, but guess what? They're not. And we're talking about these kind of individuals in this particular passage of Scripture, Psalm, that they are on their deathbed in their soul. They are afflicted in their soul. They are spiritually dead. They are unbelievable in pain because they do not know the truth that sets them free. Did you ever thank God that somebody told you the truth that sets you free? I was called to a dying person's bedside in East McKeesport. And when I arrived there, there was an older woman lying in the bed. And when I arrived there, this petite older woman lying in the bed was lying there dying, and she was doing this, "No, no, no, no," with her eyes closed. And it's my first time I've ever experienced that, about 5 years ago. When I'm looking at this woman, I'm looking at the kids, I'm looking at this woman, and she's, "No, no!" And the kids say to me, "Who's she fighting with? Who's she fighting with? She never had an enemy in her entire life. Who's she fighting with?" And I'm looking at this dear, sweet old lady dying. "No, no, no!" And I had run from my car, and my stuff was in my car. I said, "Can you give me a Bible?" "Well, she don't have one." "What's her favorite Bible passage?" "She doesn't have one." "Do you have a pastor?" She really wasn't into God that much. Sick and dying in her what? Soul. So I told the adult children, let's hold hands and just don't question me. Just close your eyes and pray with me. And I held this older woman's hand and I prayed thusly, Lord, forgive me for I'm a sinner. God, I so much want you in my life. Lord, please take away my sins. And I claim you as my Savior, Lord. And I want you to wash me. And I ask and beg of your forgiveness. And I believe in Jesus Christ. And this older woman stopped screaming. And she just stared up into space. And I leaned over and held her hand. And I sang to her, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And she took her last breath and she went home to be with the Lord. Did you ever thank God that that will not be you? Did you ever thank God that when your time comes, and it will surely come, that you will be lying in bed saying, praise the Lord, I'm ready to come home. My bags are packed and I'm ready to go. Anybody thank God for that? When's the last time you took the time to thank him for that? Crying out in your pain. One thing I can absolutely tell you unequivocally, I can tell you this, and I hope I'm not bursting your bubble at the season of Thanksgiving, but you are all terminal. I can say that with great, great certainty. Everybody in this room is terminal. How many know you're terminal? You are terminal, but your soul will live forever. Everybody thanking God for that. Praise his name. Crying out in your pain. Look at that Psalm 107. At verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 20, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, praise his name, all that we would give him thanks. Psalm 107, let's read verses 23 to 32.
Those who go down into the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and the wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down into the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They feel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and they're at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield fruitful harvests. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on the princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high far from affliction and makes their families like a rock. The righteous see it and rejoice. All iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
That's for most of us laboring in the sea of life. We are not of this world, but we are what? We're in it. How many know the nursery rhyme for adults? It kind of goes like this, the little song, I-oh. So off to work I go. How many know that song? How many still sing that to this day, right? I-oh, so off to work I go. You know, many of us probably the majority of us in this room knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Praise God and offer Him thanksgiving. But we still have our labors, don't we? Don't we still have our mountains and valleys? Don't we still have our storms? One of the biggest misconceptions that I have to help people with is they come to the Lord as Savior and they think all their problems are gone. Oh, it's just the opposite. How many know it's just the opposite? I was telling my friends in Bible study the other day, you drew the line in the sand and now you said to Satan, I'm over here. And Satan said, well, let's have at it. You think he's going to let you go? Oh, that's when it gets interesting. When you declare where you stand and you say, I'm on the Lord's side, Satan says, well, then you're my enemy. You think Satan's going to cower in the corner because you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is that what you think? Cliff, you better put on the full armor because guess what? Well, you just got in the battle. And this is what happens to us. We have these peaks and these valleys, highs and lows. And we're in the storm and the winds are crashing and the waves are crashing. And we cry out, where are you, Lord? I thought you loved me. You cry out in your pain. How long must I endure? Well, you endure until you go home. And there was once a silversmith, and I'll close with this. And the silversmith had a little silversmith shop, and there was a group of little kids coming like a trip to old economy kind of thing, and they got on a bus, they were going to the silversmith's shop and to learn how silver was refined. And the kids came in, and the old silversmith was in costume and all that kind of stuff, Eric, and had a big old fire and a big old furnace-looking thing. And he gathered the kids around. He took his black-looking stones, and he put in this iron kettle. He stuck this iron kettle in the furnace. He threw some more wood in it. And one of the kids raised his hand and said, yes, little boy. Said, how hot you got to get that fire? How hot? And the old silversmith said, gee, I don't know. I never tested it. Well, how hot does it have to be? The silversmith said, pretty hot. Threw some more wood in the fire. And one little girl raised her hand. The silversmith said, well, how long is this going to take? And the old knowing silversmith said to the little girl, I don't know. I never timed it. And the little girl said, well, if you don't know how long it takes, how do you know when it's going to be done? And the silversmith said, well, I don't know. He took the kettle out, looked at it, put some more wood on the fire, put it back. And it's going off about 45 minutes. Kids are getting kind of bored by this time, right? Well, how hot's that going to be? I don't know. I never tested it. Well, how long is this going to take? I don't know, but I don't know when it's done. He kept pulling out, put some more wood and pulling out. Finally pulled out, looked inside. A big old smile came across his face, and he said, it's done. And the little girl said, well, how do you know it's done? Well, I know it's done. Now come on over here. No, don't touch the pedal. The kettle is pretty hot. Just don't touch it. Look inside and tell me what you see. And the little girl looked inside and said, oh, I see myself. I see myself. I see me. And the old silversmith said, well, you can look in the pot and see your reflection, then it's done. See, life's like that too. You see, you go through life on a Monday morning, everything is fine. You get up and the storms and the winds howl and the waves are crashing. And the Lord puts you in the furnace. He burns away all that junk you don't need. He burns off all that stuff that you carry around with you. All that stuff that makes you black. All the stuff that makes you hard. All those impurities in your life. He puts you in a refiner's fire and he pulls you out and he turns the heat up. So how many ever had the heat turned up on you? Whew. Turns the heat up, right? Turns the heat up. He puts you in the fire and, you know, you're kind of moaning, I don't want it here, Lord. Oh, put you back in the fire. But when will that be done? You know when you're done? It's when the Lord can pull you out and look in your life and see himself. When he can look in you and see his reflection in you, then you are done. How many of you got a long way to go? Well, then hang on.
I know, right?
Yeah. And be thankful that somebody loves you enough that he wants to see his reflection in you. When's the last time anyone ever said they want to see you in them? Probably never. The Lord wants to see himself in you. When's the last time you gave him thanks? Oh, that men would give him thanks, for his love endures forever. How many are thankful today? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Yes, of course we're thankful for our family and our friends and our home and our jobs and our health. Yeah, that just rolls right off, Lord. Yeah, we're thankful for all those things. Yeah, we are. We're thankful for our grandkids. We're thankful for our home. We're thankful for our cars. Thank you for our job. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our food. Thank you for our... We're thankful for all those things. But Lord, today, right now, we're thankful for our deliverance. We're thankful, Lord, that we have been taken from the way we see things into a new world of seeing things as you see them. We're thankful, Lord, that we no longer want our will to be done, but we want your will to be done. We thank you, Lord, that we were delivered from where we were, and now here we are trying to live a life as a Christian, and we thank you. Lord, where we are wrong, rebuke us, correct us, and teach us your ways. And when we are right, uphold us with righteous arms. So, Lord, as we leave this place, we are thankful that we are honored to take upon us the name above all names, Christians. Help us, Lord. Help us to be more like you and a lot less like us. In your awesome and wonderful name, we do pray these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.